Today, Shir Masechta Beis Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Zayin, Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Havlai Hu Bochra. The Gemara begins that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had a Bechor, and he wanted to shecht it on Yontif because he wanted to be able to serve it to the Kohanim that sat by his table. Shadrul Kamei Dravami. So he sent the Dravami, as we've been discussing in our Shiurim, that a b'char cannot be eaten b'zman hazeh, or we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So the only option we have b'zman hazeh is to send the b'char to wait for the b'char to become bal mum, and after the b'char becomes bal mum, then it can be eaten by kahanim. So shadrul kamed Rav Ami sov d'loy lemechsi. Rav Ami felt, as we discussed extensively in our previous year, that we're not allowed to examine a bechor if it's bal mum on yontif. Amalei Reb Zreika, v'tem Reb Yirmiya, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon. Wherever we have a machloikus and shas between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, we have a rule that loch Reb Yehuda. So why are you following the opinion of Reb Shimon, who doesn't allow it to be looked at? You should be to be examined. You should be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who's lenient, says the Gemara. Hadar, then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi went and sent it. Shadrul Kamed Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Savad Loyal Lamachsia. And again, he also refused to examine it. Amle Rabbi Yitem Rab Zeika. Again, why are you taking the strict approach? Don't we have a rule that Rabbi Yehuda Rab Shimon, that we have a Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rab Shimon Alok Rabbi Yehuda? And Rabbi Yehuda is the lenient one. So the Rishonim ask that Rashi explained that our Mishnah is speaking about, our Gemara is speaking about a case where Rabbi Yehuda had Kahanim sitting on at his table. What makes Rashi say that pshat? So Tosfos Chachmei Anglia say that a Bechor, we know, is from Matnas Kahuna. And we know that a Kohen Kemena eat from the Bechor Bezman Hazeh, as we explained, unless it has a Mum Kavua. And Rabbi Yehuda felt that he can't just eat that Bechor because it belongs to the Kohanim. On the other hand, the Kohanim may not eat from that Bechor unless it has a Mum Kavua. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda went through this approach. Now the question, of course, is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi HaKadosh, was certainly a Mumcha. Why did he want to not examine it himself? So from here we see that he did not want to rely on himself on something that is relevant to him. A very important halachic principle. And that is, can somebody pass a shaila that's relevant to he personally? Rabbi Yehuda apparently felt that he can't pass it himself because it's his animal that he wants to serve to the Kohanim. The Pnei Yeshua says that what forced Rashi into this pshat is we're having now a discussion, we had it in our previous year, if you're allowed to look at Mumim on Yontif. Certainly, Rabbi Yehuda knew that you're not allowed to look at Mumim at on Yontif. And what's going on here? So he says what Rashi meant to say was that there were Kohanim sitting by his table. He had Kohanim as guest. He had this animal, which was a Bechor, and was a Balmum, and he didn't bother having it checked because he knew that he has to give it to Kohanim, and he's not a Kohen. But he figured that when Kohanim will come, he'll have it checked. And then, or sudden, on Yontif, he had Kohanim sitting by his table. So he said, oh, now I have an opportunity to use this Bechor, but I have to make sure it's determined that it's a bal mum. That's why he went and asked these Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha and Rav Ami to examine it. Amle Rab Abba, my time lo shafti l'rabban al mevet of the Rab Shimon. So Rab Abba asked Rab Zeika, you keep on saying that the loch is like Rab Yehuda. Why don't you allow these rabbanim to follow the opinion of Rab Shimon? Amle fat ma biyotcha. Why are you in favor of following the opinion of Rav Shimon? Amalei, So which Rabbi Abba responded, Hach am Rav Zeira, because I know what Rav Zeira taught me. And Rav Zeira taught me that in this halachic situation, Hach am Rav Zeira alak Rav Shimon. That maybe there may be a rule throughout Shas that when we have a machloikis, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, we follow the opinion of Reb Yehuda, but in this situation, we follow the opinion of Reb Shimon. Amma Madhu, so when there was one of the Talmidim that was there and wanted to know why and from where do we see that in this circumstance, we follow the halacha like Reb Shimon. Amma Madhu, so was one of the Talmidim who were there and who said, Azkei ve'eski lahasam, I hope that I will be zoicha to go to Etzisrael, where Reb Zeira lived, v'agra l'shmatz m'pume demara, so I could learn directly from Reb Zeira if the halacha is like Reb Shimon. Kisolak l'hasam, when he came to Etzisrael, ashkel Reb Zeira, he met Reb Zeira, and Amalei, and he asked him, Amamar, did you say that in this shaila, the halacha is Reb Shimon? Amalei, loy. And they're not here that express explicitly that we have to follow the opinion of Shimon. What I said was, Anam Mistabra Amri. I said that it makes sense to say that the halacha is Reb Shimon. The Tarim B'mas Nisan, because we've learned in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Omer, the Mishnah said, Kol She'ein Mumen Nikam by Joim, if it wasn't about Mum from before Yontif, Ein Ze Min Amuchim. And when this halacha, that Reb Shimon is the man, the Omer, that holds, that we're not allowed to examine animals, even if they were a Balmum from before Yontif, on Yontif, when the Braisa taught us this halacha, the Braisa said it not in the name of Reb Shimon, the Braisa said it in the name of a Chachamim. So the question is, if this represents the opinion of Reb Shimon, why was it said as if the Chachamim said it? It's Reb Shimon's opinion. Shema Mino, it must be that the reason Chazal put this opinion of Reb Shimon, quoted it as the opinion of the Chachamim, because they wanted us to understand that that is the halacha. Shema Mino, Mistabra Kavasei, that that is the way to paskin like Reb Shimon. So ask the Gemara, my Havalai, what the Gemara wants to say, that what is the halacha? So of course the Pnei Yeshua asks the question, if the Gemara just proved from the wording of the Braisa, that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, so what's the Gemara's question of my Havalah? So, says the Pnei Yeshua, just because the Braisa puts Reb Shimon's opinion in the name of the Chachamim, that isn't a conclusive proof that the halacha is Reb Shimon. Because we have a rule throughout Shas, says the Pnei Yeshua, that ein lemeidim halacha mi Braisa. Braisas were not considered as authoritative as Mishnayis. And therefore, even though the Braisa clearly points that the halacha ought to be like Reb Shimon, by the Braisa putting Reb Shimon's opinion in the name of the Chachamim, that isn't, says Pnei Yeshua, a conclusive proof. And that's why the Gemara says, my Havalah, the Gemara asks the question, what is the halacha? Am Rav Yosef Toshma, the Talya Bashli Ravavi. This question is really the question that the great people. So the Aruch explains, Ashli Ravavi means great Talmid Chachamim. Just like we find, he says, that the word Vayita Eshel, Eshel means a tall, strong tree. Here too, this is something that we have to rely on great Talmid Chachamim, the Paskin. And as Rashi tells us, Im Bikashta Lichonik, if you want to say something, the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, explains Rashi in Masechta Pesachim, if you want to say something and have somebody and be careful, if you want to say something that most people will find as a chiddush and may not be ready to accept what you say, if you'll have a great person who says this, then we know that that must be the halacha. Dom Rav Shimon Pazi, Om Rav Shimon Ben Levi, Om Rav Yosef Ben Shol, Om Rebbe, Mishum Kila Kedusha of Yerushalayim. The Aruch brings two pshatim. What is the Kila Kedusha of Yerushalayim? One is because these were the people who spent, who they divided the day into three. A third of the day they davened, a third of the day they learned Torah, and a third of the day they worked. Rav Nissen Goyen explains These were people who would learn Torah the entire winter, and during the summer, they would work. So they said in the name of the Kehilat Kedusha Yerushalayim, Rav Shimon v'chaver Amru, Rav Shimon and his colleagues all said that the halachas like Rav Meir, that Rav Shimon now said the halacha like Rav Meir. Asked the Gemara, Amru, how can we say that they said that the halacha is like Rav Meir? V'henu k'shishu menu tuva, the Kehilat Kedusha that were much older than Rav Shimon ben Menasseh. And how could they have said halacha in his name? Elo, can't mean that they said that halacha is like Rav Meir, that we don't look at Mumim and Yontif. What they meant was, b'shitas Rav Meir Amru, that they said that Rav Shimon's opinion is based on Rav Meir. And since Rav Shimon's opinion is based on Rav Meir, so that's why we paskin that way. The Tanan, so the Gemara wants to know, where do we see the opinion of Rav Meir? So it's based on a Mishnah, Masecht B'chayrus Daf Chof Ches Amar Aleph. The Mishnah B'chayrus teaches us, Hashoychres B'chor, somebody who shechts a B'chor who's a Baal Mum, but he did not give it to the Chacham to examine before he shechted it. V'akach Heres Mumay, after he shechted the animal, that's when they took the dead animal to the Chacham to determine if it was a Baal Mum. Rav Yehuda says that it may be eaten. Even though, of course, Rav Yehuda agrees that we're supposed to look at the animal before the Shechita, that's when we're supposed to examine and make the determination. But b'di'evid, if it was done afterwards, it would be acceptable. Since it wasn't slaughtered with the determination of the Chacham, osur. So now the Gemara shows how Rav Yosef bases that Rav Shimon is based on Rameya. Alma Kosova Rameya. So we see from here, the Rameya's opinion is, the Rias Bechar Lav Kareas Trefa. We can't compare the loch of determining of a Bechar's Bamum like determining a Trefa if an animal was a Trefa. Rias Bechar Michayim. The looking at an animal of a Bechar has to be done while the animal is alive. Rias Trefa Lach Ashchita. You can look at a trefa, and that's when we do look for a trefa, after we slaughter it. Because there's a fundamental difference between what the ria of a bechor, what the examination of a bechor accomplishes versus what the examination of a trefa accomplishes. The bechor, without that determination that it's a bal mum, is not allowed to be eaten. And therefore, it's not allowed to be done on Yontif. Whereas the rear of a trefa is just to make sure that the mitah meeting is not trefa, but it's not to make a halachic determination. And that's what we're able to say. Rear is trefa. If we shecht an animal on Yontif, and after we shecht it, we want to determine if it was a trefa or not, that may be done afilu b'yontif. Whereas rias bechor, that requires much more of a determination, and that could only be done me'erev yontif. So now we can understand what the Gemara said. Rav Shimon that held that ain't roy mumim b'yontif, and Rav Meir who says that we can't look at after you shechted the bechor, it's too late to make the determination, they all are following the same opinion. And therefore, Rav Yehuda, who disagrees with Rav Shimon, is a Yochid versus Rav Meir and Rav Shimon. And we know that the halach is Yochid v'Rabim, halach k'Rabim. And that's why the Gemara is saying that's why he felt that the halach is like Rav Shimon. So Rashi has just explained that there's a fundamental difference between checking if an animal as a trefa versus checking a bechor if it's a bal mum. Because Rashi explains, the Vremaska Alma, that checking if an animal is kosher, it's not misakin. Because the Rav only is clarifying and confirming that this animal may be eaten. He's not establishing a status, or he's certainly not reversing a status that we had before. Whereas by bechor, his psak makes the bechor mutter, And therefore, that's much more of a Misakin, which of course is also in Yantif. The Taz gives a different explanation. He says, when we have an animal that we have to determine if it's a treif or not, we're not changing the animal's chazaka, because every animal is presumed to have been born as not a treifa. Therefore, what he's doing is not nirik masakin. A bechor is born, again, because we assume that an animal is born healthy, so bechor is born with the status quo that you're not allowed to eat it bezman hazeh. That's why it's much more of an act of masakin. So according to the Taz, if changing a status quo is considered masakin, then the halacha would be that whenever we had something that had a chazaka, that it was not kosher, and if the Rav is going to paskin on Yontif, that it's kosher, so what the Rav is doing, he's changing the status quo. And the Taz just said that whenever you change the chazaka, that's considered masakin. The Kavan Nisano, of course, comments on this Taz, and he says that this is a very difficult psak of the Taz, and he says, of course, we've seen Rabbonim who had foods that they had a chazaka that were not kosher, and the Rav paskin on Shiantif that it's fine. And in fact, he quotes a Trumas Hadashin who says that a Rav is allowed to paskin such a shayla on Yontif. He says that therefore the Karban Nisanel has a different approach. He says, when a Rav paskins on the status of Bechor, it's considered like Dine Mominus, because initially, the Bechor belongs to Hegdish, because it really should have been brought to the Mizbeach. Unfortunately, we don't have a Mizbeach nowadays, but that's where it belongs. And now, by the Rav paskening, and that's a Baal Mum, it transfers from Hegdish to the Koyim. That's Osur on Yontif. That's considered a Dine Mominus. So even though the Karban Nisanel says a Dine Issa Veheter, a Rav is allowed to paskin on Yontif, but Dine Mominus, he's not allowed to paskin on Yontif. And paskining on a Bechor is considered like he's paskining on a Dine Mominus. Whereas paskining on the kashrus of a food is considered like Issa Veheter, that he says is Mutter on Yontif. Amar Abaya asks Abaya, Ota Hosam, the Mishnah that we just quoted in Masechet Bechoros that speaks about examining a Bechor after the Shechita, Beroi Mumen Peligi, is the reason Rameya holds his opinion there is because the question of what is the halacha about looking at a Bechor? Bekanasa Peligi, there in Machlokes has nothing to do with what we're speaking about in our Shurim. There the question is that the person didn't bring the Bechor in the proper time to the Rav. And the question is, do we fine him that because he didn't do so, he'll never be able to eat the Bechor? When it's a question about a cataract, Kuliam Lepligi, but Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda agree the Osir. It can't be determined after the Shechita. Mishum the Mishtanim. Many times, it looks like a cataract after the Shechita. And maybe if it would have been examined before the Shechita, we would have seen that it's not really a full-fledged cataract, which is considered a mum kavua. Ki pligi, where do we have the machlokes of Yehuda and Rameyer? Mumen shebaguf. When we're examining a body, a full-fledged mum, Rameyer sover. Rameyer says, of course, this mum did not develop after the Shechita. But why are we not allowed to look at it at the Shechita? Because the Gazrina Mumum Shabaguf Atamum Shabamayim. It's a new reason. Because since we just said that everybody agrees we may not look at a cataract after the death of the Bechor, so that's why Chazal said all Mumin may not be examined only after the death. Rav Yehuda Sover, like Gazrina, Rav Yehuda says, yes, I of course agree the cataracts may not be examined after the Shechita, but that has no bearing on any other mum. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masnitzin Dat Medeika. If you learn the Mishnah there set is very clear that there the issue is an issue of Knas. Because if we look at the words of the Mishnah there, it says, Ramei Aymer, Hoyo V'nishchel Ashloya Pi Mumcha Aser. The Mishnah says that it was shechted before the Mumcha looked at it. Now the question is, we know the Mishnayis always want to speak in the most succinct fashion. So the Mishnah should have just said, Remeya Oyser. Why the Mishnah say, Hoyul v'nishchat shloi api mumcha, shmamina? Because what Remeya is trying to teach us is don't make any error. It's only knasu dekanis. Don't say it's osur la'alocha, it's a knas. So we hear, shmamina, we clearly see that there it's connected to a knas, and therefore our question with about looking at B'chayr Mumma and Yontif is a totally different subject. And it remains just the machlokes of Shimon and Yehuda. And we don't have this concept that we mentioned a few moments ago of Yochev Rabbim, Malach Rabbim, to push us into the direction of saying that the halacha is like Rav Shimon. So the Chasam Sofer asks on this knas, why did they punish the owners? The owners went and took this b'char to the Rav, and the Rav looked at it when he shouldn't have looked at it after the animal was geshachten. And who ends up getting punished? The owner. And moreover, if you're going to punish the owner, if you're going to make a knas, as the Chasam Sofer, the knas shouldn't be like the Gemara describes, because you may get confused with a mum with dukin shabayin. The knas should have been because the owners took it at the wrong time. So Chasam Sofer explains that Al Gemara is speaking here about a situation where the owners themselves are experts, and they know how to examine a bechor. And the halach is, as we mentioned earlier in the shir, that even though the owner of this bechor is a Talmud Chacham, but you shouldn't pass in a shayla that has relevance to you. So if he looked at they looked at this bechor before they shechted it, and they then shechted it, and they determined that it has a mum kavua, and then they took it to the chacham. So now they didn't do anything really wrong, because they knew that this animal is about mum. So the only reason we make a knas is not because we say, well, you took it too late. The knas is because sometimes you're going to get confused with dukin shabayin, which is a mum that can't be examined. The Gemara says the Gemara began with the word knas, but then the Gemara switched to the word gzeira. And the Rishonim asked this question, that in the Shiltas Rav Achi says that it's a knas, but we know that throughout Shas there's a rule that Allah kremeya b'gzeiroisov v'loy b'knasosov. We pass on kremeya by gzeira, not by knas. And that's why the Gemara used the word gzeira to teach us that the halacha is like remeya. Amri Verdina, says the Gemara, Amri Verdina, there was a person, Amri, who came from the city called Verdina, and the people of that city were known to be stingy. Chazer Bruch Adabei Nesiyah Hava, and he was the person, the Talmud Chacham, who used to examine the Bechayrim of Rabbi Yehuda in the home of the Nasi. But Yontav, he refused to do any examinations. Also, Amalei Rav Ami, they went told Rav Ami that this is what he's doing. Amalei Rav Ami said, Shabakav Adalai Chazi, he's doing the right thing. We're not supposed to look at a Bechor's Mumam Yontav. Asked the Gemara, Rav Ami Gufa Chazi, Rav Ami himself would examine Bechayrim on Yontav. So why is he saying that somebody who examines Bechor Manyantiv is doing the wrong thing? Answers the Gemara, Rav Ami Kavachazim Esmal Vachazim. What he did was that he would first examine the Bechor before Yontif. But the halacha is that the Rav, who's paskening if the Bechor is a Balmum or not, is not just supposed to pasken it is or it isn't a Balmum. He also has to examine the circumstances how it became a Balmum. Because as the Gemara Masechta Bechayrus speaks quite extensively, the Kahanim were suspect that they would make Mumim on Bechayrim. Because until the Bechor is a Balmum, they're not allowed to eat it. And what happened was that they were do so, that they should not have to take care of the animal, because until it became Balmum, they would just have to be busy taking care of the animal. So what he did was, he would determine from before Yontif if it was a Balmum, and then, and the halacha is, that if somebody makes a mum in a Bechor, he was over in Issa D'Raisa, and the Gemara Masechta Bechor teaches us that that animal may never be eaten. And therefore, what he did was, he used to check the animal before Yontif. And not only did he check the animal before Yontif, he would declare that the animal is Bal Mum. But he didn't have the time, Erev Yontif, to check the circumstances, what happened here in this animal becoming Bal Mum. And he would tell them, come back on Yontif, Ube Yontif Shiule Kamasho, and on Yontif, he would start examining Hechav Ovda, exactly what happened here. Did the mum happen by itself, or did the Kayin make the mum? And after he would make that determination that it didn't happen deliberately by the Kayin, he said that the psak that I gave yesterday now is relevant, and I cannot, and now you, we could determine, now we could eat this Bechor if he had determined that it was about mum. And as the Rosh Yosef explains the Gemara, the issue here is the issue in our Gemara, as we mentioned earlier in our shir, is the issuance of the psak. Because the issuance of the psak that the animal is about mum is considered mesakin. So as long as you didn't issue the psak before Yontif, as long as you issued the psak before Yontif, then doing the examination, is doing the determination what happened here, is not considered misakin. And the Gemara tells us there was such an episode. Kihada hu gavra, there was a kohen, the Isa Berchel Kame de Rava, that brought a bechor to Rava, a panya de mala Yontif, erev Yontif in the afternoon. Havios Rava kachai v'reshi, Rava was washing himself, preparing himself for Yontif. Dole eni, he picked up his eyes, the chazi lemumay, and he saw the mum, but he didn't have a chance to do the examination, what happened here. Amale, so Rava said to him, Zilla idna v'tala macha, come back tomorrow. Kios lemacha, when the kohen came back the next day on Yontif, Amahechei avavda, so Rava asked him exactly what happened with this bechor. Amale, havashad nishari b'hachkisa d'chutza, they were barley on one side of the thorns, and the Bechor was on the other side of the thorns. And as the Bechor wanted to eat from that barley, he put his head in between the thorns, and one of the thorns cut his lip. Maybe you specifically put the Bechor in that spot, so that the Bechor, because your intention was that the Bechor should put his head between the thorns and become a Bal Mum, Amalei. So the Kohen said, Loi, I did not do so. It was not done something by me in any deliberate fashion. And that's why Rava said, since I determined before Yontif that this was a Bal Mum, now you could eat this, you could go Shecht and eat this Bechor. Ask the Gemara, not Tamer, the Gemara also. But Rava wanted to know if he even just caused it. Throughout Shas, we have a klal that a grumma, an indirect act, is not considered something that you're responsible for. So even if he put the animal into such a place, why would he be responsible? Here we seem to see that Rava held a grumma's usur. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, regarding a carbon that's about mum, Vish ki yakav zevich shlomim, tamim yir l'rotzen, Kol mum lo yibay, only elish lo yichayba mum, shlo yahayba mum. That you are not allowed to make a mum of the animal. Menayin shlo yigraloi aydei davacher. Not only may you not go and make a mum, how do we know that you can't even just cause an animal to become a mum? Menayin shlo yavi batzuk advela. Don't bring some dough or some food or fruit, v'nichloi agave oizen, and then put it on top of the ear of the animal, kadesh yova kelav yitlana, because then the dog will come, because he'll be interested to eat this food, and he'll bite the food. And I saw the Rosh Hashanah explains that the Gemara specifically uses the example of dough. He says, because dogs normally are not interested in eating dough. What the Gemara is saying is that even though it's a far-fetched grumma, Because if you put the dough on the ear of the bechor, it's unlikely the dog's going to bite. But still, even this type of grum is asur. Tamaloyma komum. Amamum. It would have been adequate that the Torah should just say the word mum. But the Torah says komum. We learn from the komum that even a grum is asur. This is machloikus rishonim. Ibizman azeh, as we keep on discussing in our shiurim, where we can't eat bechor, bizman azeh. The bechor cannot be brought to the mizbeach, but still the kohen has to wait until it becomes a balmum in order to be able to eat it. Is the isser of making a mum on such a bechor an isser deraisa or an isser derabbanan? The Rambam's opinion is that it's an isser deraisa. The opinion of Rashi and Tosfos that bizman azeh, it's only an isser derabbanan. So we've been speaking about a bechor that became balmum and may be examined on yontif or not. Our Mishnah over here speaks about a kachim animal that died on yontif. So an animal that dies on yontif, it becomes muksa. And now the Mishnah wants to discuss its status. Or similarly, what's the halacha chala? We've discussed many times that when we make a dough, we have to take off chala. But chala becomes tamei, may not be eaten, can't do anything with it. What's its status as far as Hilchus Mux is concerned? Behema Shemesa, an animal that dies in Yontif, it may not be moved. So why did the Mishnah use the words Lo Yizenim Mekoymai? Usually when the Mishnah wants to say something is Muksa and it may not be moved, the Mishnah uses the words Lo Yataltaleno. What does it mean Lo Yizenim? So the Sefer told us, Yaakov explains, we've been learning many times when we speak about Hilchus Muksa, we say that a kli shel machter l'isser may be moved l'tzorich gufoy mekoymai. But that's unique to that type of Muksa. All other Muksas may not be moved under any circumstances. And that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. Don't treat this like a kli shel machter l'isser that can be moved l'tzorich gufoy mekoymai. Lo yizenim mekoymai can't be moved at all. They asked Reb Tarfin about the situation of an animal that died in Yontif, and they asked him about Chal that became Tomei in Yontif. Reb Tarfin went into the Beis HaMedrash for Shaul, and he asked the Chachamim what the halacha is, and they told him, it may not be moved under any circumstances, because it has no use. And even though during the week challah that becomes tamei can be used for fuel, the halach is that in yontif we're not allowed to burn kachim tameim or challah tamei or truma tamei, even if it's letzorich yontif. Certainly, this halach says the Merem Yisada that challah that's tamei or kachim that died, the halach is that even if they died before yontif, the same halach would apply. But they specifically spoke about the kachim that died on Yontif, explains the Merem Yisada, because if it would have died before Yontif, the halach is we have to worry about bezayin kachim, and we would have to dispose of it properly before Yontif. Leim tenat stam d'lak Rav Shimon. So we say that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rav Shimon, says the Gemara. The Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Rav Shimon Omer, we're allowed to cut up cucumbers, pumpkins, in front of an animal to eat from it, and it's not considered a tircha shaloi l'tzorich. This nevela, an animal that became a nevela on Shabbos, may be cut up l'fnei a klovim. Now the chiddush is that this animal was an animal that was fine before Yontif. It became a nevela on Yontif. And by becoming a nevela on Yontif, so that means before Yontif, it wasn't meant to be served to dogs. Before Yontif, it was meant to be served to human beings. Yet Rav Shimon, as we have throughout Shas, doesn't subscribe to a strict interpretation of Muksa. And that's why he holds that this animal that became a nevela on Shabbos can be cut up and given to dogs to eat. Rav Yehuda, who, as we always explain, has a stricter interpretation of Muksa. Rav Yehuda Melayos, Nevela Me'er Shabbos, if it wasn't Nevela before Shabbos, Asura, it becomes Muksa. So we see that an animal that dies on Yontif is Muksa. So isn't our Mishnah following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Answers the Gemara, I feel time Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon could agree, Maider Rabbi Shimon Baal Chayim, if they were healthy, Shemesu, that if they die on Shabbos or Yontif, that they're Surim. Because the animal that Rabbi Shimon allowed to be cut up was an animal that they saw was a sick animal. So since they saw that the animal was sick, they expected it to possibly die on Shabbos Yontif, and that's why they weren't Maksadas. They didn't take that animal out of their mind, and that's why the halach is that such an animal is not Muksa. But any other type of animal, a healthy animal that dies, which is the case of our Mishnah, Rav Shimon would agree that is considered Muksa. Hanicha, says the Gemara, L'maba Marei Mishmei, the Rav Adama Moedah Rav Shimon, V'Bal Chaim Shemesh Asurim. If we're going to say that Rav Shimon agrees that a healthy animal that dies on Shabbos Yontif is Muksa Shaper. So we're able to explain that our Mishnah follows the opinion even of Rav Shimon. And his opinion is that any animal that dies on Shabbos or Yontif, mutar is mutar, my ikalameimer. Why in our Mishnah are we machmer? Says the Gemara, Tergumu, we're going to explain that our Mishnah, as we learned the Mishnah, is speaking about behemoth kachim. Behemoth kachim, even Rav Shimon will agree that if it died on Yontif, that it's going to be considered muksa. Why does he differentiate between regular behemoths and behemoth kachim? Because he says every animal, the animal is going to be ultimately die, and part of the animal is going to be used for animal food. And that's why Rav Shimon says that if it happened on Shabbos or Yontif, it's not considered that it was muksa. Whereas behemoth kachim can't be used to serve animals that food. And since behemoth kachim cannot be used to serve to animals, even Rav Shimon agrees that before Yontif, you were maksadas from it. The Rishonim ask a question. Our Gemara seems to be disturbed that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Shimon, it only follows the opinion of Yehuda. The Gemara is trying to figure out how our Mishnah could follow the opinion of Shimon. But we go at the beginning of our Masechta. At the beginning of our Masechta, we said that our first Mishnah in the Masechta follows the opinion of Yehuda. And the Gemara explained on that base that when it comes to Hilchos Muksa, Rabbi Yehuda, as we keep on repeating, has a stricter interpretation of Muksa than Rabbi Shimon. And on Yontif, because people are more lax in the observance of Yontif and the seriousness of Yontif, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda by Muksa. So what is if our Mishnah would be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? So the Chiddush ben Rambam wants to say that the Gemara is not asking that it would have an issue if we explained that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but the Gemara wants to see if our Mishnah could also follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Another point, another way that the Shita Mekubetzes explains is that at the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara proved from a Mishnah at the end of the Masechta that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda by Muksa and Yontif. The question is, why couldn't we bring a raya from this muksa? The Ekanami says, the Gemara, I'll prove to you that our Mishnah speaking about behemoth kachim, and by behemoth kachim, Rabbi Yehuda would agree, Rabbi Shimon would agree, the Tana, because our Mishnah spoke about a lev, a chalash, and nitmas. The Mishnah spoke about this, and the chalda became tamei. Now, certainly, machala, when we speak about chala, we're speaking about something which is kaidish. Our behemoth, the behemoth that we're speaking about in our Mishnah is the Kedisha. Ella, so what we're learning now is that our Mishnah is speaking about behemoth kachim, and the reason time of the Kedisha. And that's why it can't be moved if it died on Yontif. Had the Chaylin, but if it would be Chulin, then Sharia, then our Mishnah would agree that it may be moved. Says the Gemara, Hanicha, L'mabreid Rav Yosef Mishmei, the Rav Adama Cholokai, Rav Shimon Ap Bal Chaim, Shemes Shimitarim. There holds that all animals that died are not muksa on Shabbos Yontif Shaper. So now we would be able to explain our Mishnah very well. El Mabarim Shmei the Rova. Dama Maida Rav Shimon Baal Chaim Shemesu Shasurim. The Rav Shimon only said his halacha by an animal that was sick. but by a healthy animal, Rav Shimon will agree that it's osur ma'ikul ha'meimer. How can we understand our Mishnah? So the Gemara, what we're going to have to say is, we're going to have to explain that our Mishnah speaking about Musukenis, an animal that was sick, and Devri Hakol, and everybody agrees that an animal that was sick, according to Rav Shimon, if it dies on Yontif, the halacha is you're allowed to move it. But now our Mishnah is teaching us that that's only by behemoth of Chulin. But by behemoth of Kachim, even Rav Shimon would agree that if it dies on Yontif, a behemoth of Kachim cannot be served to dogs, and therefore the halacha is that it cannot be served to dogs, and therefore it's muksa, even according to Rav Shimon, as our Mishnah taught us. Our Mishnah begins to discuss, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, it was obviously quite common that they used to shecht animals on Yontif. They had to shecht them on Yontif. They couldn't shecht them before Yontif. They didn't have refrigerators and freezers where to put the animal. But we know that Yontif, Mekech u'Memkah, doing business, is osur. So the question is, how could somebody shecht a big animal, and the shaykhit, the butcher, has this big animal, and how can we give everybody a portion of the animal without charging them, with making sure that they'll pay after Yontif? So says the Mishnah, Ein nimna behem l'tchila b'yontif. One should not register, a group should not get together to shecht an animal on Yontif. Avol nimna lem erev Yontif. Before Yontif, that we could already do, that a group could get together before Yontif and make this and say we're going to be all partners in this animal for shechtin, and then on Yontif shecht the animal mechalkim b'neim and divide it themselves. It says the Meiri quotes in Yerushalmi that even though our Mishnah says that we're not allowed to form a group to shecht an animal on Yontif, but if there's already an existing group and you're just adding more people to that group, says the Yerushalmi, that's mutter. And of course, when they divide the animal, as the Mishnah said, the halacha is that you're not allowed to speak about how much everybody is going to owe for the portion that they're taking. Says the Gemara, my ein nimnin. What's the definition when the Mishnah says ein nimna behem b'tchila b'yontif? Amar Yehuda b'Shmuel, ein poskim dam l'chatchila behem b'yontif. They can't say they fought a group cannot go to a butcher and say, sell us this animal on Yontif for this price. So because Rashi explains that it's considered Mekech u'Memkar on Yontif, and Mekech u'Yontif is also, as the Pasuk says, Mimtza Cheftzcha v'da b'dover. The Meram Shif explains that there's another concern for doing this. And the concern is Shami Yichtoiv. If we're going to allow these type of conversations to take place, you may come to write on Yontif. So ask the Gemara, Heichi Ovid, so if the butcher is selling the meat or giving meat to the customers, but he wants to be able to collect after Yontif, what should he do? Amar Rav, maybe Shtei Behemus, he should bring two animals that look pretty much the same, Mamidam Zeh Tzilzeh, put them next to each other. He says that these two animals are the same, so when we shecht this animal, we'll be able tomorrow to determine what was the value of the animal that we shechted on Yontif. You shouldn't tell somebody I'm going to have this much value of the animal. Or I'm going to have two sloim value in the animal. What he says is that he's allowed to mention that I'm getting a third of the animal, a half of the animal, and then after Yontif, as we just explained, he'll be able to determine how much that animal was worth. The interesting question that the Paiskim discuss is, what about if they're dividing up an animal through a gyrel? That means that they cut up the animal, and now they're dividing it up with a gyrel, you'll get this piece and that piece. Now, not every piece is exactly the same, but the Rishonim say that if the way it's being divided up in a gyrel is that everybody is going to pay the same amount, even though I might have gotten a bigger, better piece than you, then that's mutter on Yontif. And the Mishnah Berurah explains that why is this process mutter? The reason it's mutter is because the two animals are never really exactly identical. There are no two animals that are exactly identical. All it is essentially an approximation. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that if it's not being done in a precise manner, it's only done by approximation, that's why it's not considered mekach or memkar and yontif, and that's why it's permitted.